welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about. We were turned on to the idea of perpetual childhood. It's been sort of a slow burn conversation amongst, you can come at it from both the left or the right and come to similar conclusions, but for very different reasons. And people on this very call probably fall somewhere on the spectrum of remaining attached to childhood interests, at least beyond what right-wing curmudgeonly op-ed writers would say is appropriate. But we're going to kind of see if we can wade through the world of adults being interested in things targeted primarily at children and see if we can come up with a definitive answer of what's okay and what's not. So, Dion, you have a Batman symbol hanging on the wall over your shoulder. Would you like to kick off this conversation?
Well, sure. So there was you sent out the article of like Bill Maher trashing the idea of people hanging on to childhood stuff. And the clapback was a writer who pointed out that Bill Maher, part of his whole shtick is smoking weed and having sex with women that are way too young for him to be around. And that's pretty childish too. And it's like a lot of the focus of this like adult childhood thing is like the entertainment that people are interested in. And like me personally, like Batman, we've talked about it many, many times. I find it very enjoyable. But I do find it enjoyable for a different reason than I did when I was a kid. Like when I was a kid, you know, it was I'm going to be Batman and I can run around. But like now it's like a kind of a psychological exploration of like someone dealing with loss in probably like the most unhealthy way possible, dealing with not being able to form attachments, but finally figuring out like it's not just childish. Obviously he's wearing a bat costume and there's some silliness attached to it. But I was thinking about like Batman specifically, like the current version that's, well, there's many versions. We were talking about this earlier. There's many versions right now, but like the current main version, I guess, would be like Ben Affleck's Batman. And I compare and contrast that to Adam West's Batman, which was campy and silly, but somehow more adult because it was aware of the silliness and being silly because it was being silly. Whereas the Batman, Batfleck version is hyper serious and has no joy and no acknowledgement of the fact that you're wearing a bat costume. So it's kind of silly. So I think that's a, like, that reminds me of like being a teenager when you can't be seen to be like silly in any way. So you're pretending this thing. And then once you get past that, once you like, oh, nobody actually cares. You can be an adult and like be who you are. And that Batman was who he was, the Adam West version. And the Batfleck version is pretending adulthood. And I think that's a distinction that needs to be made.
No.
I had not heard of Batfleck, but.
Oh, yeah. Batfleck is a fascist. Like I have a lot of problems with him, which ties into some of this stuff later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the way, I mean, I touched on how you can come at this from the right or the left and see it for very different reasons. The right usually presents adults acting like children as though it's a brand new thing that has just started. And, you know, and it's mostly like people in New York acting wrong, according to their opinions. A deeper analysis demonstrates that this goes at least back to the boomers coming of age. They seem to be the first generation who are embracing their inner child and sort of kept hanging on to that for a long time. And there were plenty of examples of foreign nationals looking at Americans and sort of assessing our culture to be quaintly adolescent, because for decades and decades, and not anything new, you know, full-grown adult men have collected little antique toys or whatever. And so there's always been sort of some examples that you could point to of hanging on to childhood in a way that, you know, is an indicator of something.
Yeah. I was going to point to, I don't know if anyone's listened to Articles of Interest, the spinoff of 99% Invisible about clothing, but one of the interesting early episodes of that podcast talked about how, like, childhood didn't quite exist until like the early to mid 1800s. So it was like very popular to dress kids up in miniature adult clothing. So like a suit made for a child, or a like sailor suit made for a child. And like that whole sailor suit thing and kids dressing in sailor suits kind of came out of an era where we dress children like adults, but in miniature. And then eventually, like, there started to be a psychology movement of like, oh, maybe childhood is a stage that we should nurture more, and that has like kind of specific guidance that should be part of it. Shouldn't just be like trying to make your child an adult as soon as possible. And so that like ushered us into a whole new era. And I feel like in the 50s, we peaked real hard with the boom of marketing that could then, you know, create, like, before that, yes, there were toys. Yes, there were, you know, books for children. But when we had TV, suddenly there were TV shows for children and characters and an expectation of you learning something from those people and stories and characters. And so it just like hit a period where that we've never experienced in history before. So we're kind of like, I feel like our generation and the way we operate and the way we think about childhood is like sort of the second phase of that incredible boom of a childhood marketing era. And, you know, of course, all the ads that we saw as kids pushing games and, you know, toys to have, like, there has never really been an era like that before. So we're all just the experimental generations here. And so to like lambaste us for being interested in those things or wanting to hang on to them is rather silly.
That's the important distinction. Like all this stuff, like, is talking about like the aesthetics of, like, you know, liking things that you would like when you're a kid. But I think what's more important is the behaviors. Like what's a childish behavior and what's an adult behavior? And there are some really valuable, like, you know, it's in the Bible. Like Jesus says to be like a child. Does that mean play with toys, or does that mean be open to learning, mm-hmm. be generous, be caring, be all those things that are just innately easier for children because they haven't been beaten down by capitalist society yet? Those things are super positive. What a lot of parenting that, you know, anecdotally, I think, is teaching delayed gratification, appreciating what you have, not centering yourself in every single situation. And I think those are the childish behaviors that our culture turns into things that we're supposed to do. Like, I was thinking, like, this may be off in left field, but like gun culture to me is super childish because we all know, whether you want to admit it or not, that ownership and distribution of guns leads to terrible outcomes. But the only reason that we haven't done anything about it is because of the childish belief that I want my toys. I get to have my toys. That's the childishness that I think we need to really deal with, because that's destructive. That is a destructive quality in all kinds of children. I want my thing. And when it leads into, I want to play Zelda or I want to watch Harry Potter isn't the same as I need right. to have my murder weapons.
The article we're discussing in this final segment is The End of the English Major from the New Yorker magazine. And this is a phenomenon that has been going along for a while. I mean, Amanda, you did some searches yeah. and you're like, oh, people have been writing the same article for how long? At least a decade. Oh,
at least like from 2006, 2013. I saw like a bunch of different, like the same headline, just in different, slightly different words. Yeah. For a while. Yeah.
And it, I mean, the major takeaway is that students entering college are not majoring in the humanities. Primarily, do we agree that primarily it is because they are terrified of not being able to make enough money in yeah. a capitalist society where they are told endlessly that we need people to focus on STEM, we need science, we need engineers, that's where the money is, and probably even more particularly computer engineers, coders, that sort of thing. And now we have ended up in a society where like people don't know, like, I don't know how humans work or something. Like we have stopped studying ourselves. It's like, we don't really understand humans anymore.
Yeah. I mean, this article's long and they went on a ride and they focused on a lot of different reasons. Right. I mean, it's not just one reason. Like, certainly kids going to college and trying to be able to make enough to pay off their student loans is a pretty big issue. But they also dove into the fact that colleges are investing in the other departments more so than the departments of the humanities. So, you know, a lot of the students interviewed in the article were saying like, well, yeah, you're putting all the emphasis and all the money in into places that are in, you know, STEM related and science related and math related. So of course, like that's what's going to be seen. That's what's going to be valued. Like where you put the money matters, which I think is a fair enough point. And from the outside, it sounds like, I mean, they focused on Harvard a little bit, you know, these big companies are kind of urging some of these universities to emphasize those specific majors because they would like to recruit kids straight out of college to be part of the Borg. And it is the Borg. That is what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely caught on my second read through that Zuckerberg gave Harvard $500 million to fund AI.
$500 million.
Yeah.
There was an interesting little piece in that, like where they said a lot of the funding in the 50s and 60s for the humanities was backed by the CIA because yeah, there was a motivation to sell culture. And the replacement is big business, not even pretending anymore. They don't have to pretend. They just go to the schools and say, we'll give you this money. Mm-hmm. We want these workers in this field. So the CIA had to pretend, do front groups. Businesses, they're just up front. Like, we don't care about this stuff anymore. We want workers.
It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, there was one student who, I believe, if I interpret it correctly, said that her freshman year, these companies were trying to scout and sort of influence her major. Like, say, like, if you go this track, we'll hire you right out of school. Like, what the hell? I didn't have any company trying to, you know, influence my major. And I can't imagine what that would feel like because you obviously want a job out of school and the pressure to get a job out of school is very high. So I'm sure that works on a lot of people.
And that's like this, you know, with the childhood adult thing, like defining terms, like what does it mean to get an education now? Mm-hmm. Like what is it for? What is it supposed to be for? What good is it? And now it seems like it is only a commodity that you can use to make more money. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So, and
exactly. One of the quotes from this article that really stuck out to me was, as we instrumentalize higher education, students question the whole bundling of a BA. Is a college education, quote, worth it? Is a humanities degree worth it? What does that mean? And how have we shaped society in such a way that that question goes through people's minds? I mean, what do people mean by worth it? Does anyone mean, like, how can I be the most, like, well-rounded and fulfilled human being over the course of the next, 80 years of my life, if I'm lucky? Most likely not. We have taught people to figure out how their education will play into their future economic prospects only.
A couple, it came up a couple times in the article.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.